Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
I made it into the studio today.
You did.
Yes. Oof. No rain.
No delays.
No delays.
No construction.
No construction.
No. No accidents.
No problems crossing the border. Had all my paperwork in hand.
Yeah. How many checkpoints do you have to go through to get from Youngstown to here?
Those Canadians can be tough, man.
Well, here we are on Sunday night again, and last week we talked about the Great Commission, and we talked about discipleship, and we're going to continue with that probably for quite a while because
until the Lord returns,
like, maybe I hope he comes back tonight.
That would be awesome.
But I say that every day. Every morning I say, Lord, are you coming back today?
One day it might be true.
One day it's going to be true. Yeah. It's, yeah. That's really the only way you can, you know, being like those people that say, you know, the world's going to end on August 3rd at 5:45 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, if you say it's going to be today, it's going to be today, it's going to be today.
Yeah.
Well, you might not eventually be right, because if it's another 100 years.
See, but culturally, we've been experiencing that for a long time now. Because first it was Y2K, then it was some other thing. Now we're only going to be alive for another 12 years. So
right.
You know, nobody knows. It's all nonsense.
Yeah, but we're going to get into this series about discipleship and what the gospel really is. But since we did the Great Commission last week.
I hear we're going to read out of your favorite gospel.
Yes, Mark. And he likes me. And actually, I don't think he likes me.
Are you
much.
Sure?
Yeah. Well, yeah. His name was actually John Mark. And he was actually Barnabas' cousin.
He was?
Yeah, so I guess he and Barnabas were kind of close, and now Barnabas doesn't like me either.
Oh, jeez.
So there's another one waiting in line. But even though he's a son of encouragement, he doesn't like people making fun of his cousin, Mark.
That's true.
Yeah, but that's okay, because my hero, Paul, didn't like Mark either. So, no, it's not that I don't like
him. What happened to Blessed or the Peacemakers? What's going on here?
See, I hijacked the gospel.
Oh, my. Oh, boy.
I better shut up. I'm in enough trouble already.
Oh, my.
Huh. But anyway, Mark chapter 8. This is good. This is also mentioned in the other synoptic gospels, the other two synoptic gospels. But Mark chapter 8, 34 to 38. Do you have that ready?
I do.
All right, let's do it.
He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? What could one give in exchange for his life? Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this faithless and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels."
Hmm. He could be talking about today's generation. You know, we have people that go to church that are ashamed of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
No, I better not say anything. I don't know.
Well, if you look at Jesus, or if you listen to Jesus's words here, they're words of authority.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're not minced and going, you know, well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here. You know, I hope you understand what I'm saying. You know, John the Baptist spoke the same way.
Yes.
He spoke with authority.
Direct, powerful authority.
God's word always brings forth life.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus tells of the conditions of discipleship, as we were talking about at the end of the show last week, there's a cost for it. Mm-hmm. There's a cost of being a disciple. Mm-hmm. There's a cost that Jesus paid so that we could become disciples and follow him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he has, you know, what we could call terms and conditions for this. It isn't a loose kind of thing, as you're saying. It isn't set up to make you feel better. It isn't set up so that you go through your life without any kind of difficulties and without any kind of trials, without any kind of tribulations. Because, you know, he also says in the scripture, in this world you will have tribulation, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. And the prosperity teachers don't quote that one either, but they certainly don't quote what you just read, because there's terms and conditions to be his followers. And during that whole passage there of those verses you just read, it's not mentioned about having it made. I missed that. I think even in the ancient Greek, it doesn't say you guys are going to have it made now.
Yeah.
It doesn't say you're going to have a great bonus at the end of the year. It doesn't say your car is going to be great. Doesn't say all your diseases are going to be cured. It kind of says, you know, if you want to follow me, here's the story.
Yeah.
And as you say, he says there's a pathway of suffering that then is going to lead to glory.
Exactly.
You have to pick up a cross and you have to follow me. And I think we mentioned toward the end of last week, when he said pick up a cross, those guys would have gotten the chills. Because they knew exactly what that meant.
Yeah.
Because every condemned criminal picked up a cross. Now, sometimes they carried just the cross beam. Sometimes they carried the whole cross. But they carried the cross with them to some place with a group of soldiers or some police officials. And when you saw a guy going down the road carrying a cross with some guys accompanying him, You knew two things. Number one, it was going to take that guy a long time to die, and he was going to be in a horrible suffering anguish. And you knew that he wasn't going to come walking back down the road the other direction when all of this was over with, because he was going to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he says, pick up your cross and follow me. And, you know, he indicates, you know, it tells him about his suffering first. You know, he tells, you know, Son of Man's going to be delivered, and he's going to be killed.
Yeah.
And, Peter can't even deal with it the first time he hears it.
Right.
Oh, don't even talk like that.
Yeah.
Like we would say, people say, don't even talk like that. Well, whether you talk like that or not, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, in the notes here, it says the utterance of Jesus challenges all believers to authentic discipleship and total commitment to himself through self-renunciation and acceptance of the cross of suffering, even to the sacrifice of life itself.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a stern call. Where are we at here? And as you said, you know, what he in verse 36, he says, what profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life?
Yes.
You know, Abraham had riches. Abraham was very wealthy,
mm-hmm.
but he also believed and trusted in mm-hmm. the God of, I was going to say the God of Abraham, but he's, in Adonai. Yeah. So it was credited to him as righteousness because he trusted and believed.
Yes. And that was counted as righteousness.
Yeah. And God blessed him.
Yes.
God can bless you with riches. It's just a matter of, do those riches then become your possession, or do you still worship God? And, you know, what do you do with it?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can bless you can bless many other people with those things. But it's about keeping God in the first place.
Yes.
Keeping Christ in the first place.
Exactly.
And most importantly, not scoffing at the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Which is the unforgivable sin. But
yeah.
Yes. And as I mentioned, the Synoptic Gospels, this is also in Matthew 16 and in Luke 9. But one thing that comes through this loud and clear is he's not saying, you guys might have to make a few adjustments in your life. Yeah, you got change a couple things here and there, or maybe you're gonna have a little less time to watch TV if you're gonna follow me, or maybe once in a while you're gonna have to go to church or the Messianic Synagogue or the home group or the Bible. I mean, but if you feel like it,
you might miss the football game on Sunday.
You might, and if you feel like it, you might have to spend a little bit of time with me, rather than the things that you're doing now. So you might have to make a few little adjustments in the world.
Even if there's soccer practice on Sunday morning?
That's right.
Wow.
Or swim meets or whatever it is. And, yeah.
That's the reality. I mean, really, that's the reality of our culture.
It reminds me of a friend of mine whose daughter was a competitive swimmer, and they had all their things on Sunday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And he's quite a bit younger than I am, but we would talk and – I would say, well, it's Sunday morning. And then he said, one time he said, what kind of father would I be if I missed the meet? And I said, well, considering she has 52 meets and you miss one of them, doesn't mean you're a terrible father. And secondly, maybe you could teach her a lesson that this is God's time.
Yeah.
And you're going to swim some other time. Yeah. I know that's hard and there's tremendous peer pressure.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to minimize the peer pressure. But this Jesus is saying, forget the peer pressure.
Yeah.
Forget the swim meets.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the sleeping in. Forget the whatever it is. He's not saying, you just adjust your daily routine a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot. Maybe 15 minutes here and 10 minutes there. Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
And, if you add me to your life, I can kind of be supplemental to you. I can kind of make a little bit of stuff better over here and make a little bit of stuff better over there. And, I could give you like the power of positive thinking or, I could give you a kind of an upbeat look at life. And, you should think about it. I mean, no pressure, but, think about it. He says everything.
Yeah.
This basically means everything has to be given to me.
Yeah.
Everything has to be surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
And everything has to be brought under him, under his authority.
Yeah.
It's not some minor adjustment in your life. Like, I think next week I'll go to church at 9 instead of 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, get up a little earlier.
I think in some regards it's like that Christianity – wouldn't it be nice if Christianity met my schedule?
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't have to adjust it so there wouldn't be any conflicts.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have to make a decision if I want to go and spend time with Jesus or if I want to do this other thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the conflict is there because God wants us to choose out of the love of our own heart who we want to be with.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to be with him, we're going to say, I don't want to go to that. I'm going to go be with the Lord.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be challenges. There's always going to be conflicts of schedules. So, those types of things are always going to come up, and Satan loves to pile them on.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I know you can remember blue laws. I can remember blue laws when everything on Sunday was closed.
Yeah.
But now, everything and anything is open,
mm-hmm.
and everybody does everything on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get to church, if that fits their schedule. And that's what Christianity has become to a large part in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scheduling conflict, and gosh, I just don't have the time to do all this because I would be a bad parent if I
missed one game.
Yeah. I mean, God gave the Israelites the law so that they would be in a right relationship with God.
That's right.
It wasn't for convenience.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it wasn't to like enhance their life a little bit so they'd feel better at the end of the day.
Right.
And it's all become this kind of positive thinking thing now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have this great relationship with Jesus. I love him. He loves me. And this is great. Well, do you ever pray? Well, do you go to church on Sundays? Well, do you study the scriptures? Well, I mean, you and I both have done a lot of Bible studies in our times. I mean, I don't even know how many Bible studies I've taught over the last 20 some years. And one thing always comes out where people always say, how do you know so much about that? And I say, well, because I spend a lot of time reading about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it was infused into my head like Paul, or it's not like I'm a speed reader and I can read the whole Bible overnight and remember everything. It takes time to do it.
Yeah.
It takes time. If you're going to have a relationship with your spouse or a friend or your children or whoever, your coworkers, you know, you don't spend 5 seconds a day with that person talking and then say, oh, yeah, we have a great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to them.
Yeah.
You experience things together.
Right.
So if you don't, you know, prayer is that connection that we have with him. So if you don't use that, I mean, what are you doing?
Well, the biggest, I think one of the biggest obstacles is that when somebody says, well, I'm just a volunteer.
Yeah.
And when leaders in the church agree with that, well, you know, they're just volunteers.
Yeah. Right.
No, you're a disciple of Jesus
Christ.
Right.
Amen. That's a good point.
Jesus didn't say, if you want to be my volunteer on a part-time basis after you're done with everything else.
Yeah. Only if you have time.
Only if you have time. I don't want to put any pressure on you because I know that, you know, that might be too much for you.
Your favorite TV show might be on.
that's where things have come to. But when the leaders in the church basically give into that and don't offer any teaching or any explanation of why are you a disciple? What's the call here?
Yes.
What did Jesus do for you?
Yes. Yes.
And what's your response? There's a call and a response, like in music. Like when you write a musical piece.
I'm working on a cantata.
That's why I brought this up. because there's usually
in B flat minor.
In B flat minor, see there? If you have a call and a response, right?
Right.
So there's a call, the congregation responds.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus calls.
Yes.
Come.
Yes.
Follow me. What's the response? And there's many stories in the gospel. Well, Lord, wait, let me go and bury let the dead bury their dead.
Yes.
But Lord, wait, I have to, anybody who puts their hand to the plow and looks back isn't fit for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Those are the same stark words that we hear in this passage from Mark. Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. You know, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty straightforward.
Very straightforward.
Yeah.
And they haven't, they haven't changed.
No.
We've changed them.
Culture is trying to change a lot of words right now.
We've adapted that to our current lifestyle. Well, you can't expect me on Sunday morning to go to church. Do you know how hard I work all week? I work 70, 80 hours and I'm running around all the time and I'm thinking about stuff while I'm going to sleep and I'm getting up during the night writing memos and I'm worried about, and Sunday morning you want me to get up and go to church?
Yeah.
I'm tired.
You know, if you change the meaning of words to the slightest bit, you can change the meaning of the conversation.
Yes.
And that's what's happening in our culture today.
Exactly.
You know,
things must be different now.
Yeah.
Jesus would look at things differently now. I mean, I heard a guy just a few days ago talk about how, well, you know, if Jesus were here, he would approve of late term abortion because he would know that that person needed that at that point in her life to, and I think, what do these people think like this? What?
Jesus would approve of late term abortion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Cause then it would make the woman feel better because this problem would be out of her way. I mean, this is how people think now.
This problem.
You know, Nancy Pelosi says, we're doing the Lord's work.
I heard that.
Did you see that one?
Yeah.
And then I can't remember the guy's name, but he's a famous kind of one of these like scruffy old actors.
Yeah.
So the one frame of a thing is Nancy Pelosi saying, we're here doing the Lord's work. Then the next frame is this guy looking up through his glasses going, I'm no priest or anything, but I'm pretty sure late-term abortion is not doing the Lord's work.
Yeah. Hardly. Well, this is the culture taking over the gospel.
Yes.
Because, you know, I know that there's people in the pro-life movement who march on Washington. They go to, and they do a lot of good work. And it's tireless work.
Yes.
But the church as a whole has to condemn it. Not just a bishop writing a letter.
Right.
Because nobody reads the letter.
That's right.
Proclaim it from the pulpit.
Yes.
Go on the TV, go on EWTN, whether you like Mother Angelica or not, get over your pride and proclaim it. I mean, it's, you know, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. For
exactly.
religious, for well, even our own religious freedom.
And that just reminds me of what you just said about volunteers.
Yeah.
And you, a lot of times you talk about, Father Cantola Mesa and the Vatican. And I've read some of his books, and I'm sure you've read some of his books, but the one thing that always sticks in my mind is he talks about when you're doing the, whatever they call catechism class now, when you're doing catechism classes at your church, you don't ask who's available Tuesday nights at six. In other words, you don't just get a teacher because they're available Tuesday nights at six.
Yes.
You get a teacher who knows the faith, who knows the gospel,
yes.
who wants to teach kids about Jesus.
Amen.
And, but no, it's like, who's available Tuesday nights at six? Me. Okay.
That's part of this. That's part of this sermon and the call to discipleship is what are my gifts and talents?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they would rather have somebody, a warm body,
yes.
than nobody at all.
That's right.
And sometimes it's better to have nobody
it's
at all.
Better to have nobody at all.
Because they're going to get the same direction.
Yes.
If they're getting bad direction from someone who doesn't know the faith and is making up as they go, and that's not catechesis at all, it's better to have nobody there and wait until the Lord appoints somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the early church understood this.
Mm-hmm.
They waited on the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And God provided. In abundance. Today we go, Lord, we need somebody. Gosh, it's been 2 minutes since I prayed and there's nobody here yet.
Yeah.
Let's do something.
Yes. And those people at that time that he's talking to now, or in that gospel you read, could they have even imagined late-term abortion, same-sex marriage, all this gender nonsense? And
yeah.
I like the guy who said, God created two genders. All the other ones were created by liberal Democrats.
Yeah. I mean, it's very demonic what's happening
yes,
in
exactly.
our culture. It's exactly. a lie. Satan loves to lie.
Satan sets up counterfeits.
He's the father of lies.
And a murderer from the beginning.
And he's been doing it since the garden.
Yep.
And he's very good at it.
Very good at it.
We're not going to outsmart him.
And Eve was much smarter than we are.
Yes.
And she fell for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have the smartest mind saying, oh yes, but, what about, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. I mean, you go back to Romans where Paul says, you know, that they flatter themselves so much that their own minds have been darkened.
Darkened.
By their own
God
sin.
God gives them over to their reprobate minds.
Yeah.
And they profess themselves to be wise and they become fools.
Mm-hmm. And we're seeing it in full bloom right now.
Yes. And the other thing is, I know the music's about to start in a second, but, in that passage that you read, you know, this thing about this idea of denying yourself, because, you know, your life is not just about you. We've made our life now just about us. I have to do this. I have to go there. Yeah. I have to be there. I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to be over there at 10. I have to be over there at 10:30. I have to do these things and some of the things that you have to do. But your life is not just about you. And what he's getting at here is there's a transformation that has to take place for you to follow.
Yes.
You can't follow in your old self. You know, Paul says the old me's been crucified.
Yeah.
I don't live anymore. The old me's been. That's a tall order for anybody to say, oh yes, that's definitely true of me.
Yeah.
Because we know that we could always do better.
Yeah.
But at least we're striving to do better.
Mm-hmm.
The culture is moving to, it's all about me.
Yeah.
And you can't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And I don't care what kind of medieval superstition you bring out. I don't believe that.
Yeah. It's pretty much like we've talked about many times that the disciples walked with Jesus for 3 years.
Yeah.
They held on to their beliefs, but after Pentecost, everything drastically changed and their whole belief system and structure changed because of what they witnessed, not only with Jesus dying and rising, but also the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles in the upper room at Pentecost.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you transform your life, you're united with his plan and with him.
Amen.
And the music's already here.
It is.
I'm just getting wound up here. Well, anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him, that we would do just that, is deny our very selves, take up his cross, and follow him as God as Lord and King over all creation. God, everyone, have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.